Rushdoony Radio presents Systematic Theology in Two Volumes by Russus John Rushdoony, narrated by Nathan F. Conkey, produced with permission by the Chalcedon Foundation. 7. Calvin on Providence. The great theological commentary on the doctrine of providence is John Calvin's. Very clearly, he saw the necessity of setting forth the relationship of the doctrines of creation and providence. Calvin wrote, quote, "To represent God as a creator only for a moment, who entirely finished all his work at once, were frigid and jejune, and in this it behoves us especially to differ from the heathen, that the presence of the divine power may appear to us no less in the perpetual state of the world than its first origin, because unless we proceed to his providence, we have no correct conception of the meaning of this article, quote, that God is the creator, end quote, however we may appear to comprehend it in our minds and to confess it with our tongues, end quote. Providence is inseparably linked in Scripture to creation. For Calvin, providence is not a universal mechanical operation, but, quote, a particular providence sustaining, nourishing, and providing for everything which he, God, has made. All the parts of the world are quickened by the secret inspiration of God." End quote. Providence is opposed by Calvin to fortune and fortuitous accidents. It is purposive, holy, and righteous. End quote. Quote, "But whoever has been taught from the mouth of Christ that the hairs of his head are all numbered, Matthew 10:30, will seek further for a cause, and conclude that all events are governed by the secret counsel of God, and respecting things inanimate, it must be admitted that, though they are all naturally endued with their peculiar properties, yet they exert not their power any further than as they are directed by the present hand of God. They are, therefore, no other than instruments into which God infuses as much efficacy as he pleases, bending and turning them to any actions according to his will." End quote. Calvin's doctrine of the very, quote, present hand of God, end quote, in providence exerted a great influence on Puritanism. For Calvin, God's providence is both general and particular, so that he sees, quote, every year, month, and day is governed by a new and particular providence of God, end quote. God's omnipotence is, quote, a power constantly exerted on every distinct and particular movement, end quote. Therefore, quote, the faithful should rather encourage themselves in adversity with this consolation, that they suffer no affliction, but by the ordination and command of God, because they are under his hand. But if the government of God be thus extended to all his works, it is a puerile cavil to limit it to the influence and course of nature. End quote. God's providence is fully particular. It extends to the every detail of our being and lives. There are no accidents in creation. We are, therefore, in every situation in the hand of God, so that his people, quote, may securely repose in his protection, to whose will are subject all those evils which can be feared from any quarter, end quote. Hence, we are forbidden to look to the stars or in any way, quote, transfer the government of the world from God to the stars, end quote. Calvin is emphatic that providence is particular and not mechanical. It is not only foreknowledge, but also action. God is not a ruler, quote, in name only, end quote. Quote, first then, let the readers know that what is called providence describes God not as idly beholding from heavens the transactions which happen in the world, but as holding the helm of the universe and regulating all events. Thus, it belongs no less to his hands than to his eyes. And Abraham said to his son, quote, God will provide, end quote, Genesis 22:8. He intended not only to assert his prescience of a future event, but to leave the care of a thing unknown to the will of him who frequently puts an end to circumstances of perplexity and confusion. Whence it follows that providence consists in action, for it is ignorant trifling to talk of mere prescience. Not quite so gross is the error of those who attribute to God a government, as I have observed, of a confused and promiscuous kind. Acknowledging that God revolves and impels the machine of the world with all its parts by a general motion, without peculiarly directing the action of each individual creature. Yet even this error is not to be tolerated, for they maintain that this providence, which they call universal, is no impediment either to all the creatures being actuated contingently, or to man turning himself hither and thither at the free choice of his own will. And they make the following partition between God and man, that God by his power inspires him with motions, enabling him to act according to the tendency of the nature with which he is endued, but that man governs his actions by his own voluntary choice. In short, they conceive that the world, human affairs, and men themselves are governed by the power of God, but not by his appointment. End quote. Such a view, said Calvin, makes God ruler, quote, in name only. End quote. We cannot begin to comprehend the reason for the strength, militancy, and power of Calvinism and Puritanism, apart from Calvin's statement of the doctrine of providence. The failure of modern Calvinism has been due to its indifference to this doctrine. But then, Calvinism without the doctrine of providence is not Calvinism, but an abortion. Calvin applies the doctrine to the weather, quote, not a drop of rain falls, but at the express command of God, end quote. To understand how faithfully biblical Calvin is in his formulation, we have only to look at a few of the many texts he cites and expounds, quote, he giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry, end quote, Psalm 147:9, quote, who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth, end quote. Psalm 113:5-6. Quote, the preparations of the heart and man, and the answer of the tongue, is from the Lord, end quote. Proverbs 16:1. Quote, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? End quote. Proverbs 20:24. Quote, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. End quote. Jeremiah 10:23. Quote, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, end quote, Matthew 10:29. These and many like verses come readily to Calvin. They are the lifeblood and fabric of his faith. For him, nothing is fortuitous nor a product of chance. Calvin draws a sharp distinction between providence on the one hand and fate, fortune, and chance on the other. The latter are the outworkings of a blind and mechanical nature. Calvin, it should be noted, was fully aware of mechanistic and naturalistic thinking. Such philosophies existed among the ancient pagans and were, in his day and earlier, gaining a fresh currency. From the standpoint of a non-theistic faith, quote, the world revolves at random, end quote. We have, then, either a blind chance or a blind necessity, fortune or fate. With Augustine, Calvin, quote, excludes any contingence dependent on the human will, end quote. Nothing happens, quote, independently of the ordination of God, because it would happen at random, end quote. No cause outside of God governs God, and, quote, the will of God is the supreme and first cause of all things, because nothing happens but by his command or permission, end quote. While providence may seem fortuitous to us, it is not, and Calvin boldly stated the case, declaring that, quote, the order, reason, end, and necessity of events are chiefly concealed in the purpose of God, end quote. Quote, let us suppose, for example, that a merchant, having entered a wood in the company of honest men, imprudently wanders from his companions and, pursuing a wrong course, falls into the hands of robbers and is murdered. His death was not only foreseen by God, but also decreed by him, for it is said, not that he has foreseen to what limits the life of every man would extend, but that, quote, he hath appointed bounds which he cannot pass, end quote. Job 14:5. Yet, as far as our minds are capable of comprehending, all these circumstances appear fortuitous. What opinion shall a Christian form on this case? He will consider all the circumstances of such a death as in their nature fortuitous, yet he will not doubt that the providence of God presided and directed fortune to that end. The same reasoning will apply to future contingencies. All future things being uncertain to us, we hold them in suspense, as though they might happen either one way or another. Yet this remains a fixed principle in our hearts, that there will be no event which God hath not ordained. In this sense, the word chance is frequently repeated in the book of Ecclesiastes, because, on the first view, men penetrate not to first cause, which lies deeply concealed. End quote. Man experiences the present and the future in suspense. Because creation is particular, the suspense is as real as the predestination of things and as providence. In a world of chance or fate, man is of no account. Blind chance or blind necessity prevail. This mechanical necessity is absent in providence. In Calvin's words, quote, what God decrees must necessarily come to pass, yet it is not by absolute or natural necessity. We find a familiar example in respect to the bones of Christ. Since he possessed a body like ours, no reasonable man will deny that his bones were capable of being broken, yet that they should be broken was impossible. Hence, again, we perceive that the distinctions of relative and absolute necessity, as well as necessity of consequent and consequence, were not without reason invented in the schools, since God made the bones of his Son capable of being broken, which, however, he had exempted them from being actually broken, and thus prevented, by the necessity of purpose, what might naturally have come to pass. End quote. Calvin is concerned lest men view providence with Hellenic eyes and assume that, quote, God amused himself with tossing men about like tennis balls, end quote. As a result, in chapter 17 of book 1 of the Institutes, he writes on, quote, the proper application of this doctrine to render it useful to us, end quote. Calvin is not interested in speculative theology, but in a theology for godly living. Thus, quote, as the minds of men are prone to vain subtleties, there is the greatest danger that those who know not the right use of this doctrine will embarrass themselves with intricate perplexities. It will therefore be necessary to touch in a brief manner on the end and design of the Scripture doctrine of the divine ordination of all things. And here let it be remarked, in the first place, that the providence of God is to be considered as well in regards to futurity as in reference to that which is past. Secondly, that it governs all things in such a manner as to operate sometimes by the intervention of means, sometimes without means, and sometimes in opposition to all means. Lastly, that it tends to show the care of God for the whole human race, and especially his vigilance in the government of the Church, which he favours with more particular attention. It must also be observed that, although the paternal favour and beneficence of God, or the severity of his justice, is frequently conspicuous in the whole course of his providence, yet sometimes the causes of events are concealed. So that a suspicion intrudes itself that the revolutions of human affairs are conducted by the blind impetuosity of fortune, or the flesh solicits us to murmur as though God amused himself with tossing men about like tennis balls. End quote. Such a view springs from sin and from a false faith, as that of Agamemnon in Homer, who says, quote, "The blame belongs not to me, but to Jupiter and fate." End quote. Such a view turns the moral universe upside down. It leads to fatalism also. Calvin cited the view of those who said that, if God has ordained the moment of our death, then all caution is absurd. The end of such an impersonal view of things is to view all crimes as virtues, quote, because they are subservient to the ordination of God, end quote. But God's providence is not an abstraction, nor a mechanical operation outside of us. The universe is not a single cause, but an absolute cause, God, and a multitude of second causes in all creation. A man's crime can never be abstracted from a man and reduced to something existing only from eternity. Quote, "The providence of God ought not always to be contemplated abstractly by itself, but in connection with the means he employs." End quote. It is God's providence, yet we and the world around us are fully a part of it. In the Stoic view of fate, man is the helpless pawn of an impersonal and mechanical force. In the biblical doctrine of providence, man, in all his being, is a part of God's providential ways, and that without compulsion. We therefore see ourselves as God's instruments, as Joseph did in Egypt, and, like Joseph, we look behind the immediate evil wrought by men, his brothers, to see the very immediate hand of the Lord. Quote, "Yet at the same time a pious man will not overlook inferior causes." End quote. Providence means thus a total meaning to life and history, and a victorious meaning. It means also that we are delivered from anxiety, dread, and care. Without this faith in providence, the mainspring of Christian power and action is gone. God becomes remote, and his government an eternity away. With the doctrine of providence, God and his government, ruling and reigning from the throne of heaven, are still closer to us than we are to ourselves. Then the providential government of God is in the very marrow of our bones, the hairs of our head, and the thoughts of our being. Providence is then in our actions and in the grass beneath our feet and the sparrows around us. Then too, quote, we live and move and have our being, end quote, Acts 17:28, not only in God, but in his providence as a total part thereof. Without a lively faith in providence, man is an outsider in the universe. With it, quote, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, end quote, Romans 8:37. Well done for listening all the way to the end. This is Nathan, the narrator, speaking to you from Puebla, Mexico, from the Faith for All of Life school in which I teach English as a volunteer. I teach from kinder through high school. Now, I rely on donations in order to keep teaching and recording, so if you want to support a Faith for All of Life school in Latin America and want to keep listening to Rush Dooney while you vacuum, drive or cook, commute or whatever you're doing right now, donate at ctn.org/Nathan Conkey. That's NathanConkey, all lowercase. Or if you prefer PayPal, paypal.me/NNathan Conkey. You can also email me at nfconkey, that's nfconkey@gmail.com. Thanks, and I look forward to speaking to you very soon.